Hello, everyone. This morning I want to start off by reading two passages of Scripture that have been some of my favourites for years now. The first is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, which says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, which says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain." These are two scriptures that tell us then very clearly that we shouldn't give up. So today I want to ask you whether you have ever felt like giving up. I must admit that sometimes I have. With all that is going on with the pandemic and not being able to meet together properly, etc., etc., have you ever felt like throwing in the towel and saying, "I can't do this anymore. I quit. I've had enough"? It's not just the coronavirus either, is it? There are other things that can make us feel like this, aren't there? But if you remember back to the week before last, David showed us that when our confidence is anchored in the might and power of God and our focus is on him, we can defeat the giants that are standing in the way of us living the life God created us to live. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at another figure from the Old Testament, Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a man who kept on going even when he often felt like giving up. And I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've found that life is tough. And I think we all have times like that, don't we? And it's in these times that over the last 10 years or so in particular, I've gone back to my Bible and read the words written by this prophet of God over 2,500 years ago. And each time, God has used Jeremiah to speak straight into my heart. I hope you find the same today. Now, Jeremiah had a really rough time. He faced many challenges and many upsets, but he still remained firm. He never gave up doing what God called him to do. Now, just before we look at the reasons that might have made Jeremiah quit, I think it would be a good idea for me to kind of summarise a little Old Testament history so that we'll all understand the historical context that Jeremiah is writing from. In Genesis, we find that God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. This meant that they had to leave their homeland and move elsewhere. Then there was a famine, so they went to Egypt as economic refugees. Here they worked for the Pharaoh, but eventually they became slaves. And they lived as slaves for 400 years before God used Moses to lead them out of captivity. Then they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years until they were ready to enter the land that God had promised them. After they moved into the promised land, things were good for a time. But with the advent of the kings of the people, starting with Saul and then David, etc., things turned sour in the land and they split into two halves, Judah in the south and Israel in the north. And both kingdoms turned their back on God. Israel was then defeated in battle, and Judah, not learning from the mistakes of Israel, also turned her back completely on God. It was during this time that Jeremiah was born. He grew up in a town 3 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, God called Jeremiah to a particular task, and it was a tough job. He had many reasons to quit, many reasons to give up and throw in the towel. The first reason was the people. Have people ever made you feel like giving up? You would have hoped that Judah, the southern kingdom, would have learnt from watching what happened to a sister kingdom in the north, that it's not a good idea to turn away from God and worship idols. But they didn't. Jeremiah 3, verses 8 to 10 says, "I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery." Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. Well, from this we see that the people of Judah had pretended to come back to God. They came to the services, sang the songs, even lifted their hands, but it wasn't real. They worshipped with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. So you can see why people made Jeremiah want to give up. God had told him to tell the people to turn back to him, and they didn't. The second reason that Jeremiah could have easily given up was because of how difficult the job God gave him was. You see, what God had called Jeremiah to do was to preach a difficult message that no one wanted to hear. What was this message? That God was angry at Judah and his justice would be unleashed on them for their sins. Ouch. What Jeremiah was actually called to tell them was that the only thing left for them to do, their only hope, was to surrender to their enemy, the Babylonians. You can imagine how that went down. He told them that if they surrendered, things would go reasonably well. But if they refused to surrender, then things would be terrible. The city and the temple would be burned to the ground. Tens of thousands of people would die from the sword and from famine. And to make it worse for Jeremiah, God had told him not to stop preaching this message. So for over 40 years, Jeremiah preached a sermon series called Captivity and Death. This role that God had given him, being the prophet of doom and gloom, was enough to make Jeremiah want to give up too. Then there was the constant rejection he faced. It's clear that Jeremiah preached his heart out for over 40 years and no one ever listened. That's got to be tough. Jeremiah 6:16-17 records this, and it says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." We will not walk in it. In other words, we will not listen. How frustrating this must have been for Jeremiah. But there was more than this. You know, God rejected Jeremiah's prayers too. Do you hear this? You see, Jeremiah loved his people and he didn't want to see them suffering, so he constantly prayed for them. But God told Jeremiah on several occasions, like here in Jeremiah 11 verse 14, "Do not pray for this people or offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress." This sort of constant rejection is hard for anyone to take. Then there was the loneliness. Now, I've got to say, if ever a man needed a sympathetic spouse beside him, someone to stand with him, this prophet surely did. But God ordered Jeremiah not to marry. You see, his lifestyle needed to match his message. For Jeremiah to marry and have children would have been inconsistent with the message that Jerusalem would soon be destroyed by the Babylonians. For that very same reason, Jeremiah was not even allowed to entertain parties or social gatherings of any kind, because there was nothing to celebrate. Do you get the picture? For some 40 years, Jeremiah was all alone, preaching a message no one wanted to hear to a people who would not listen. And as if all that wasn't bad enough, now let's throw some abuse and hardships into this boiling pot of discouragement. Here are just a few examples. In chapter 11, verse 9 and onwards, we read that the men from his hometown plotted against him. Then in chapter 26, verse 11, we read that he was put on trial for his life. In chapter 36, verse 23, the first draft of God's word was burned by the king. In chapter 20, verse 1, he was flogged and put in public stocks for people to mock. In chapter 28, verses 1 to 17, we read that he was attacked by the false prophets who spoke a different message. In chapter 37, verse 11, he was arrested and accused of treason. And in chapter 38, verse 6, he was dragged from his prison cell, lowered by ropes into an empty well in the prison yard. There was no water in it, but there was a thick layer of mud, and Jeremiah sank deep down into it. Now, hearing all of this, I don't know about you, but for me, well, I think Jeremiah had rather a lot of very good reasons for wanting to give up. And in fact, it was so bad that Jeremiah is often referred to by biblical scholars as the weeping prophet. And it seems that at points Jeremiah did want to quit. Hey, who can blame him for that? There were moments when he had had enough. Moments when he cried out to God in great frustration and said, I can't take it anymore. Have you ever had any of those moments? Can you feel his pain? Poor Jeremiah. But you know what I love most about Jeremiah? He tells us exactly how he's feeling. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He brings it all to God. He doesn't come to God pretending. He tells God how he's feeling. Rejection, hostility, pain, suffering, futility, loneliness, and an unpopular message for 40 plus years. Now that's a really tough calling. Jeremiah had so many reasons to give up, but he hangs in there for all those years. So with all of this going on, why didn't he give up? Well, as I thought about Jeremiah, I asked myself over and over again exactly this question. How did he do it? What kept him going? How can we keep going, even in the worst of situations? And I found what I hope is at least part of the answer. There are three things that you and I, like Jeremiah, must have if we are going to keep going, even when we feel like giving up. And the first of these things is that Jeremiah had a purpose to live for. Jeremiah's life had meaning and purpose. And we see this in the very first chapter of his book. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 says, "The Lord gave me a message. He said, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.'" Jeremiah knew his purpose, to speak the words of God. And that purpose helped him to keep going, even when he felt like giving up. He also said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, "But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more of his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones." Knowing that God had a purpose for his life burned in Jeremiah's bones like a fire. Now, last week we heard that David had an anchor to hold on to. Jeremiah had the same hope to anchor to. And hope is a powerful thing. Let me share one of my favourite stories that illustrates the power of hope. A number of years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect hope has on those who are undergoing hardship. Two sets of laboratory rats were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one of these groups in water and found that within an hour, they'd all drowned. The other rats were periodically lifted out of the water and then put back in again. When that happened, the second set of rats swam in the water for over 24 hours. Why? Not because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. You see, those animals believed that if they could stay afloat for just a little longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. Hear this well. Jeremiah had hope because, like our little just keep swimming rodent friends, he was confident that God would one day come and rescue him. So not only did Jeremiah speak the following words from God, he believed them, and it gave him an unshakable hope, even in the face of all the rejection, all the people problems, all the hardships. And you know, the same is true for us. if we will hold on to the hope we have in Christ Jesus, then this is what the Lord says to us, as he said to Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah knew that battles, war, death, famine, sin and destruction were not God's ultimate plan for him or for his people. You see, even in the midst of all their sin, idolatry and rebellion, God's plans for his people were still to prosper them, not to harm them, and to give them hope and a future. And listen to this verse. I have no doubt that this verse gave Jeremiah hope. Chapter 29, verse 14 says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." God's passion, his goal, his desire has remained unchanged since humanity's fall in the garden, to do whatever it takes to bring us back to himself. And because Jeremiah had this unshakable hope, because he was anchored to the plan and purposes of God, Jeremiah knew that God's desire was not to pay his people back, but to win them back. Jeremiah had a mighty God to trust in, which is how he and we can say, "God, everything you ever wanted to do, you did. You made the heavens and the earth. You delivered your people, and everything you said would happen has or will happen. Nothing is too hard for you." So a purpose to live for, a hope to anchor to, a mighty God to trust in. This is what kept Jeremiah going when he wanted to give up. And we, as followers of Jesus, have those exact same three things. We have a purpose to live for. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And it is my job from God to stand here today and proclaim to you on the authority of the Word of God that you have a purpose to live for. To know God, to bring him pleasure, honour and glory, to be a part of his family, to become ever more like Christ and reflect him to this world, and to do what God has uniquely shaped and prepared for you to do. We have a hope to anchor to. We've run to God for safety. Now his promises should greatly encourage us to take hold of the hope that is right in front of us. This hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. In fact, hope reaches behind the curtain and into the most holy place. Jesus has gone there ahead of us. And he is our high priest forever. Oh, I love that. Jesus has gone ahead of us and we are going there too. One day, no matter what else happens, Jesus will come and rescue us and take us home. So folks, my message for all of us today is just keep on swimming. No matter the adversity, no matter the circumstances, just keep swimming. Jesus is coming back, and when he does, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more pain or sorrow, sin and hatred. We will see him as he really is. Revelation 21 verse 5 tells us, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making all things new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.'" And as if this wasn't enough, we have a mighty God to trust in. for we have the same God who brought David success against the mighty giant called Goliath. The same God who brought the Hebrews out of Israel through the Red Sea and the wilderness. The same God who has looked after his people since the beginning and will do until the end. So now you see what we have been given. For God has given us a purpose to live for, a hope to anchor to, and a mighty God to trust in. And these are the keys for you and me to hang on to when we feel like giving up. You want a cure to all the peace-ruining things that are going on? The hope in the midst of a pandemic? The anchor for your soul when all is turmoil around you? Keep up your relationship with Jesus. There is nothing else like it. He is the hope bringer. He is the peacemaker. He is the rescuer, and he is the mighty God. Accept no substitute. We must continually seek God, as we hear in Jeremiah 29, verses 13 to 14. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Amen.